I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
You ready? 3, 2, 1, go! Welcome to the Red King.
A minute 35 to go in the game. Chiefs lead 32-29. Long count. Chiefs are going to throw it. They throw it in the left. Flat cut. It's Samaje Perine at the 30. First down. And up the left sideline. I love you, Samaje Perine. I remember when Brett Veach told me they picked him up. It's a gain of 18 yards. I poured water on my head. A great pickup by Brett Veach to get Samaje Perine. And the Kansas City Chiefs are going to pull this off. Perine comes up big on a 17-yard completion.
Find you somebody in life that gets you like Samaje Perine gets Mitch Holthus.
Man!
Wet. I had to pour water on my head.
I mean, my goodness, that was some fire right there awesome. By Mitch, man. If that doesn't get you going on an All Hallows Eve, I don't know what does.
We'll have to play that to cue him up. When he comes on the show a little bit later on, about an hour from now.
That's right.
The voice of them Chiefs.
I hope he comes in studio this morning dressed in a costume.
Me too.
Right?
What would be a good Mitch costume?
I would imagine Mitch. He's going as himself today.
He likes Step Brothers.
Yeah?
Could do something there. Yeah.
Is he in studio today?
I don't know. Well, we don't know. He just shows up. Yeah, that's great.
I hope he shows up as Batman.
Hi, I am Batman.
He just has the different voice. Fellas. Like, oh.
Stay focused, Dusty.
I still know it's you. I can tell. It's not me. I'm not wearing hockey pads. Why is the voice like so brutal? Christian Bale, still love him, but never understood that. You've got fight in you. I like that. You're going to love me. Like, whoa, dude.
Why are you doing a Maloney right there?
Well, that's what it is if you watch, yeah. So I feel like this is, how do I describe this? This is a different game, but it's the same. Does that make sense? No. It's still the Bills and the Chiefs. It's middle of the season. It's the rivalry. It's Allen. It's Mahomes. It's McDermott. It's Andy. It's, you know,
Vance. It's Romo.
All of it is still there, but it's got a different feel to it. And there's two different feels to this game that one will describe at 7 and one we're going to describe now. Because normally, let's be honest, this game is between two teams that are going to put themselves in position to just kind of carry the one seed until the end of the season, where whoever wins this game normally is like, well, there's the one seed. The AFC Championship goes through Arrowhead. Or now the Chiefs are going to have to go to Orchard Park and win a game and avoid snowballs. Mm-hmm. We've seen all that before. And you kind of feel a little bit more nervous about this game because you're like, the fate of our season technically is in the balance of this game, because if we can take Patrick Mahomes once again and have it be the Arrowhead Invitational, then we like our chances to be going to the game in February, right? That's all there. That ain't the case this year.
No, it's not.
Right? You're still two teams ahead of you in your division. Buffalo has lost to New England. They are not leading their division. And this is more so a game to kind of just make sure you have control of your playoff spot, not necessarily the one seed. Now, the Chiefs could hit an amazing three-leg parlay and beat Buffalo, beat Denver, and beat the Colts and really set themselves up.
Sure.
But where I think that Colts game will be Saturday in November at noon is where I think this game normally is. Like, I think that game at Arrowhead at noon against the Colts is going to be dynamite. And I'm sure you guys are going. I'm sure you're going to have a blast. I'm sure you're going to, you know, love it. But that's normally where this Buffalo game is. But Buffalo does not lead their division. The Chiefs do not lead their division. The Chiefs are 5-3. Buffalo is 5-2. Both of these teams are trying to stay steady in their own divisions and kind of gain ground that way, but also kind of solidify themselves in that playoff picture where, yeah, the Chiefs are 6-3. They don't lead their division, but by God, I don't want that team coming to my town when it's playoff time. Like right now, the Chiefs would go to New England. Mm-hmm. We like that chance.
Yeah,
right?
Oh, I love that chance.
I would take the Chiefs over New England. I'd take the Chiefs over anybody in this playoff.
Yeah,
picture.
There's nobody right now that I would say scares me in the playoffs, right, whether it's on the road or at home for Kansas City.
And I think that's what makes this game a little bit different. Like, it is not the end of the world, obviously, any year if you lose this game. There's nothing pivotal on this game other than maybe a glorified one seed or a lock into the playoffs. You could still lose this game and still take care of business elsewhere, and hell, you could still win your division at that. But I think that there's more pressure on both these teams in a very, very different way, as in, hey, go prove that you're still that team. Because if Buffalo loses, I can see it. The window is closing. McDermott's hot seat is heating up. And is Josh Allen really that guy? If the Chiefs lose, see, the Chiefs finally played a good team. They got beat. They went on the road. Yeah, they got to play three games in a row at Arrowhead. They played a beat-up Detroit team. They beat a terrible Las Vegas team. They beat a beat-up Washington team. Now they played a real team. That's the Chiefs. Here we are. Vice versa. Bills lose, or Bills win. By God, they did it again. Typical Bills win in the regular season for the Chiefs. Now they really have solidified themselves with a legit win against a good team. Let's see if their season continues to roll. Chiefs win. It's, look, guys, there they are. They're here. They're telling you, we're coming. We're coming back, and we're going to go to the Super Bowl. Just wait. So this game, to me, is the same game, but yet the narrative is different.
Yeah, it is. But it's also the first time that this game in the regular season has actually mattered. I mean, the other ones really deep down haven't mattered. It mattered for whether you're not you're going to be the one seed and host a playoff game. That's it. This game matters for whether or not you may be in the playoffs. And I'm talking about the Buffalo Bills from this standpoint, right? I think this is a major game for Buffalo. It is a much bigger game, in my opinion, for the Buffalo Bills than it is for the Kansas City Chiefs at this point in time. Because if Buffalo loses this game, you are right, it is going to open Pandora's box, and everybody's going to be talking about the coach being on the hot seat and this being the final season, and can he get this team, you know, over the hump? And that's where I think for Buffalo, I saw Dan Orlovsky call it a must-win game for Buffalo yesterday. I use that term very loosely with must-win because you're not canceling the season, but in order to get where you want to go, I think it is imperative for Buffalo to go out there and win this game. I think it's a very big perception game for Buffalo as well to go out there, because you could say the same thing about the Bills that we've been saying about the Chiefs. Oh, they beat some bad teams, blah, 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 all that kind of stuff. You can create any narrative that you want when it comes to a football game and a football matchup. I think for Buffalo right now, I think there's a lot of people, you know, nationally on the fence kind of with Buffalo wondering, has the end become closer than people want to give it credit for, especially losing Ed Oliver along your defensive line. Looking at the weapons that they have on offense, they're few and far between at this point. You know, you've got James Cook, you've got Josh Allen. You're looking at Josh Allen to carry
Shakir
this team.
Is somebody that should be on the
radar.
Yeah,
probably as well.
He's his guy.
Yeah.
And Dalton Kincaid.
And Kincaid's had a really nice little bit of a run recently. We were talking about him yesterday. You start to look at his production over the last couple of games. He's been really good.
Yeah, not to tell you, Max said something yesterday, like he's got, what, all of his plays are basically 22-yard chunk plays?
A third of his catches, seven catches, second most in the league amongst tight ends, are over 20 yards. They're explosive plays.
So they are explosive plays, so they got to find a way to, you know, to cover him,
Nick,
right?
Blood in the bud.
Yeah, yeah. How many plays, though, is Dalton Kincaid really going to get you in a game, right? And so, like, if you're looking about taking out weapons, if Dalton Kincaid beats me, I'm not going to lose my mind, right?
Nope.
Somebody is going to get yards. It's the NFL, right? You could hold down James Cook. You can keep Josh Allen at bay from utilizing his legs. If Dalton Kincaid ends up being the difference in this game and they lose because Dalton Kincaid did something and nobody else did, then you put your hands up and you go, fine, you beat us, you tip your cap on that.
Was it
of
him
day.
Last year that dropped the ball in the playoffs?
I believe it was
Dalton. Or was it
Kincaid?
Dawson Knox?
I think it was Kincaid.
I get him confused.
Yeah. I think it was Kincaid.
Okay, yeah, because, I mean, it wasn't the best throw, but it hit him in the hands.
Hit him in the hands. Should have had it, yeah. Absolutely should have had it, yeah.
Yeah, getting hit while thrown, 10 yards behind the line of scrimmage, long throw. That's a pretty good throw for context.
He should have caught that.
He should have caught that pass.
Absolutely. Kelsey makes that play. If you're going to be considered a great. No, but seriously, like, if you're going to be considered a great, those are the plays that you have to make.
But that, again, goes back to how these games always are. It's that minute of a play.
Yeah.
That decides the game.
It
the
is.
Fourth
it's
and
all,
one run.
I know.
You know.
It's crazy. They're always razor thin margins in this one. And, you know, I was kind of looking yesterday at some of the stuff, and coming off a bye, Buffalo's been pretty damn good, guys, over the last, you know, 7-8 years or whatever it's been since 2017. They haven't lost a game coming off a bye. It's very Andy Reid-like when you look at what Buffalo has done.
And they smashed Carolina
off,
last week?
They destroyed Carolina. Yeah. Right?
Without Josh Allen.
Well, Josh Allen played.
Yeah, obviously, he played. But he wasn't Josh Allen. He had like 160
yards.
No,
they ran the ball.
Yeah. And he had two rushing touchdowns, I believe.
Right.
And James Cook did the rest. But
So, I mean, week seven, they had that bye. They came off the bye, and they're 8-0 off a bye. They play really good off a bye. James Cook, after a bye week, gets about 7 yards per carry. Somehow they find it during
fresh
that
legs,
bye week,
maybe.
Right?
Yeah.
And then they get back out there, and, you know, here they sit at 5-2 coming off that bye, and maybe they're starting to find it a little bit on offense. Again, this is propaganda that their team puts out, and games aren't played on paper, but I just thought it was very interesting that we always talk about Andy Reid coming off a bye week and how good he is. When you look at what, you know, McDermott did, a direct disciple of Andy Reid, if you will, He's perfect coming off the bye week. So they had that great win coming off that bye week, you know, against Carolina.
And after dropping the two previous games.
After dropping the two previous games and then having the bye and then bouncing back. And so they're really, really, really good after that bye week. And does it carry over into this week? I don't know what the answer to that question is, but the Chiefs can have an opportunity to stop that, not let it carry over. And so I think it starts on defense as well. It's got to be a big day for Chris Jones and Mike Pinnell. You got your buddy back, man. No excuses now. Get out there and play. And, you know, we won't hear from Trent McDuffie because he's going to shut down that side of the field. Yep. And so, you know, I just think it's going to be on the defense this week. The offense is going to put up points. It's going to be about the defense shutting down, you know, Josh Allen and containing him and James Cook all weekend long. That's what it's got to be about.
They got to put up points early, though. I will say
the Chiefs or Buffalo.
Chiefs. Yeah, I do agree with you. I'm confident the offense will get going at some point, but it can't be like last week where it took a quarter and you have a turnover. And
yeah, because they will convert on fourth down.
Oh, absolutely. That fourth and one isn't going to be a 30-yard pass out of bounds this week. It's going to be Josh Allen up the gut.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to stop it. And then you're going to have to convert on the other side. You're going to have to come out and punch him in the mouth. Because I don't think, I mean, we talked a little bit about their team and their roster today and yesterday, but I don't think if you come out and punch them in the mouth, I don't know if they have the talent and skill to be able to come back.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one. If you get up 14-0 in this game, it may be over for Buffalo. Again, it's not, and we can't sit there and say, oh, this thing is over because people score quickly in this league, but they don't score quickly on this Chiefs defense. And when they do score on this Chiefs defense, it's a 9-minute and 57-second drive that results in a field goal. You know, like,
yeah.
we've got to continue to give this team credit on the defensive side of the ball. I feel like, and me included, we're all still a little bit kind of squeamish when it comes to the defense. For whatever reason, we don't want to go out. Like, we're at 98 with this defense. For whatever reason, we just don't want to go to 100 right now. There's still a little, but maybe Mike Pinnell coming back secures that middle of the field and secures that run defense against Josh Allen and James Cook this week. We may look back at this game and go, thank God we signed Mike Pinnell, because that guy was in the middle of everything, from stuffing the run to stuffing the quarterback to doing everything in the middle of that defensive line. I hope we are. I hope we're in here on Monday morning when, you know, Max in Spain and we're going, man, let me tell you about Mike Pinnell.
Two things. One, to your defensive theory, I think that's what you get from people when it's a bend, don't break philosophy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because, you know, you can build a bridge and know that it holds however many tons. But no matter what, when a couple of trucks go by, you're like, all right. Hey, I thought you said this is good. 10,000 tons should be all right. Yeah, but it's about 8,500 right now. But it still should be good.
Mm-hmm.
So you're always squeamish when it comes to that. Because, again, Washington averaged 5 yards a gain on the first half against the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Now, again, second half, that was gone. That was Marcus Mariota. That was Washington. That wasn't the Bills, who have seen you every year, sometimes twice, for the last decade. The other thing, too, to go to your point about getting out to an early lead, you got to do that, but you can't let it be Jacksonville.
Right. Like 100%.
You can't let that, because as much as Jacksonville is Jacksonville and they beat you, again, that's Trevor Lawrence. This is Josh Allen.
Right.
The other thing I will tack on to that theory that Mac had about getting out to an early lead, this is what I've said, because the two losses Buffalo had, for some reason, the Atlanta game, that didn't look like Josh Allen when they were down. Like when Bijan Robbins had 170 and two touchdowns and they were out and Josh Allen was back there, two interceptions in that game.
Mm-hmm.
He did not look like Josh Allen, like the guy that can be at times the stone cold killer, which we have seen in the past, that when the lights do get a little bit brighter, Josh Allen's attributes kind of go down a few points. That can't happen for them. And I do think that if the Chiefs go out there and score on their first two possessions, whether it's 14, whether it's 10, I don't think they will kick two field goals, but I think that they go out there and let's just say in a calm stance, they're up 10-0 with 8 minutes left in the first quarter. That'd be awesome.
Oh my God, that'd be quick.
So let's say it's the start of the second quarter, Buffalo's getting the ball and it's 10-0. Josh Allen and their stance of what they want to do, they have to stay with it. And I don't think that they will, because we've seen this in the past.
No team stays with it.
Teams that get in this sort of adversity moment, they go awry. They do their own thing. They get off script. And then all of a sudden it's like, where's James Cook been? It's like, well, we're down by 10. Okay. Well, we can't stop them on offense. So we have to kind of, you know, live up to that expectation. And the game against New England that they lost, and the game against Atlanta that they lost, Josh Allen was not that guy. And he wasn't the guy that we saw week one against Baltimore where they were down 25-40. Like, I just wasn't, I haven't seen that Josh Allen the rest of the season. And I think the Chiefs, being what they are against Buffalo, also having an offense that we've never seen under the helm of Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid and these guys, and plus knowing that your defense now, you bring up Mike Pinnell, now your defense, a 10-0 lead, Spags can get a little innovative and be like, hey, let's disguise this. Let's mix this up. We've already got Allen on his rocker here a little bit. Let's throw him a curveball. And then if they do turn the ball over, you're up 10-0. Guys, I don't want to sound cocky or arrogant, but that offense, if it's rolling like that, that early, and they have that sort of confidence and swagger in this game, that is a very dangerous thing to see if you're a Buffalo Bills fan.
Well, and also,
if you're Buffalo, you know, you don't let the Chiefs get out there and assert themselves defensively in the bend but don't break. You try to score right away if you're Buffalo. You don't let the defense kind of settle in and see what you're going to do. You know, teams that do that are playing into the hands of Steve Spagnuolo. If you're Buffalo, you're going up over the top and you're trying to score on the first play. That way you still have 14 more of those scripted plays, because we have now seen around this league, unless you're Patrick Mahomes and maybe it, to an extent, Josh Allen. Once these teams get off their 15 scripted plays, they're all stiffs back there playing the quarterback position. And so if you get Buffalo out of that script early, it's going to change things up a little bit, right? It's going to make things a little bit more difficult. But if you're Buffalo, you're thinking to yourself, why are we going to audition for these guys? Every team gives the Chiefs defense, basically that first drive, a dress rehearsal of what they're going to do. They use all their good plays. They waste all of those scripted plays and they march all the way down the field and they come away with a field goal. If you're Buffalo at this point in time, why are you going to let this defense dictate to you? You need to go out there and you need to try to score right away. You need to do things differently than everybody else does. A methodical, keep Patrick Mahomes off the field drive to me is what I want from Buffalo to start this game. I want them to empty the playbook on the first drive. I want them to utilize everything. I'd love them to go on a 15-play drive to start this game, because that means when they get the ball the next time, all those 15 plays that they scripted are done, and now we're just going off the cuff, and now we're just going by feel, and now we're just kind of, I don't want to use the term guessing, but as the offensive coordinator, you really don't have a plan after those first 15, and the game kind of just dictates it. So if you're Buffalo, you want to try to score fast against the Chiefs and not play into their hands of allowing the defense just to get a great look at you for the first 9 minutes of the game.
The Buffalo Bills have traded the 28th pick to the Kansas City Chiefs. With the 28th pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the back-to-back Super Bowl champions, Kansas City Chiefs, select Xavier Worthy.
There it is. And it's only fitting.
What do you guys think? Xavier Worthy, first year, yeah. First receiver to go for 100 yards in a game this week? Going against Buffalo, they're going to regret that pick. Because the Chiefs got Xavier Worthy in trading with Buffalo, and Buffalo would then later on draft Keon Coleman.
Yeah, who's on the outs, I guess, out in Buffalo, at least with Steve Smith Jr., who just ripped him yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, just destroyed him yesterday. And, I mean, I don't know if it's rightfully so or not. I don't follow Keon Coleman enough or to care. I just thought, like, wow, Steve Smith coming off the top rope on Keon Coleman, and we're getting ready to play him. Is this one of those guys you punch under the face mask and he goes away for the rest of the game? Because if that's the case, man, blow that guy up right at the line of scrimmage on the first play and you can eliminate him. But, I mean, I don't know that I've ever heard an athlete just come full fire.
In a nutshell, he said basically he's soft off the line, doesn't get any, like, sort of push, doesn't run like Chris.
Yeah, doesn't get separation. He's like, you can't teach a pup how to bark, pretty much. You either got it or you don't. He's not a dog.
Yeah. He says like this, he just doesn't get open fast enough. Now, Josh Allen looks his way when it's press coverage. Josh will look his way, but he doesn't throw it because he doesn't have the confidence that he's going to get open. And so he looks his way, and then he sees he's not open. He's got to move down the line, and he doesn't have there was a throw in a game last night. I think it was Lamar that threw this pass to their, I don't know who it was, right? And the announcers on the game, Herb Street, goes, that ball was thrown before that guy even turned around. Lamar knew he was going to be there, knew he was going to be turning around, and had that confidence in that guy. We see it with Kelsey all the time. Obviously, Josh Allen doesn't have that with Keon Coleman. And so Keon Coleman may be open, but he's getting open way too late in the scheme of the offense. And so you can jam that dude at the line of scrimmage and go out there and just mess with him all afternoon and get him to go back into his shell. That would be a lot of fun. I'd like to see him kind of melt down on the field on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, no doubt. Do it with the other guy you stole from Buffalo and Trent McDuffie.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah. Yeah.
Suck it.
He says he doesn't have the ability to be the number one. He ain't the guy. Can't get separation. Can't get off the jam. Doesn't have it. Can't teach a new dog how to bark. You either got it or you don't. I mean, those are harsh words, man. Now, I hope those words don't fire up Keon Coleman.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Let's hope
they did to Jerry Jeudy back in the day.
True, he had like one good game. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right after Steve Smith.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, what's up, Flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Called him out. Jerry Jeudy did have a nice game.
You just a jag, dog. You just a guy, man.
Yeah.
We go back to when we said the Chiefs could beat the Broncos and the Colts from the 660. Take the afternoon off. Have yourself a hell of a Halloween. After Pat beats the Broncos and the Colts, we can call him the Horse Whisperer.
Oh, I like that. That's good. Real good.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.